Hi everyone! I hope you're doing well and that you're ready to listen to this week's blog post, Decision Making, a life skill you want to teach immediately. How easy is it for you to make choices? Are you the kind of person who decides without thinking twice? Or do you weigh the pros and cons for ages? Do you listen to your gut or to others? Are you able to choose for yourself? We are facing many choices throughout a typical day, from the clothes we wear to the house we buy. Our children will be facing the same choices as adults. They already face the same choices as children. So how come we don't let them practice? Are your children autonomous in their decision-making? I chose a picture of my daughter in front of a cute Volkswagen bus, a little combi, all yellow. And I chose this picture because John Holt, in his book Escape from Childhood, wrote that children, like anybody, should be allowed to earn money and do whatever they please with it. And if my daughter had a bank account, she would buy this very bus and go for a road trip all the way to China to discover giant pandas. That's what she told me. I know that John Holt's statement can seem unrealistic or somewhat crazy. Letting children manage a bank account? They wouldn't know how to do it. They might make ill-considered decisions. Let's contemplate that. How much is the consumer debt in America? Not counting mortgages, it is $4 trillion. As for Canadians, they owe $1.77 for every dollar of disposable income they have. Looking at those numbers, it doesn't look like adults are more reasonable than children with their money. Maybe the government is better. $23 trillion debt for the US. Ouch! Looking at those numbers, I'd say children might do a better job at managing the state's money. Joke apart, this example was only here to show you what most parents think generally. We assume that we know better than children. Take some time to answer these questions. What is the last decision your child made? Does your child usually choose their clothes, their shoes, their coats? Does your child choose when to do their chores, their homework? Does your child choose their snack, their breakfast drink? Did your child have a say in last weekend's activity? These are examples of a family's daily life. You might be quite good at letting your child making decisions already. There are two kinds of questions, superficial or deep. I like to think of myself as a mother whose children live with quite some freedom. I let them play outside alone for hours, I don't intervene in their games, and I ask their opinions on our family plans. They have a say in their lives and in their activities. They can choose their food on the menu in a restaurant and dress the way they want, even if it's not what I would have chosen. But lately, I have made me wonder how deeply I was letting my children choose. Here are some more questions for you. Are you ready? Did your child choose their religion, their faith, the way they want to live their spirituality? Can your child choose to become vegetarian or vegan? Can your child refuse to go to someone's place because they don't like it there? Can your child play with any kid they like without you having a say in it? Can your child choose what they want to do with their own money? As you can see, we are on a different level here. Those questions are more complicated for parents to deal with because they touch on values. When your child's choices go against your values, your natural inclination is to fight it. As I told you, I like to think of myself as a mother whose children live with freedom. And yet, I know that even without speaking, I have my say in their choices. How we undermine our children's decision-making skill. As you may know, communication is said to be 77% verbal and 93% nonverbal, with body language and tone of voice. In other words, the body cannot lie. When my daughter buys herself a huge ice cream with her pocket money, I say nothing. Even though I think that refined sugar isn't healthy and that those ice cream are full of chemicals. Those are my values. So here I am, not uttering a word, but my daughter takes one look at me and says, "What?" And then, "It's my money," in a defensive tone. I didn't speak, didn't even roll my eyes. But she read my body language, and she knows me enough to guess what's bothering me. This example shows you that it's not that easy to let your children making decisions. We have instinctive reactions. You know, like when your little one is trying to decide whether they like the blue pants or the green ones better, and after an excruciating long time, you just give them one and tell them to put them on? The excruciating long time being like 30 seconds? Patience is the foothold of raising good kids. It is hard because we are educated with the idea that children know less, are less capable, and need adults to help them decide. This is a problematic idea that is deeply entrenched in us. It takes time to change a belief, and if you want to change, you will change. And as you could see in my example, I am still working on it too. Children don't like to be helped. A starting point in changing our beliefs on childhood is to understand what children don't like when we make decisions for them. Who said they needed help making decisions? Who said our decisions are better than theirs? No matter the reason, children don't like to be helped. It is a necessity for humans to learn to do things by themselves. It is a need, not a desire, and children get very frustrated when it is not respected. To help you connect with this feeling, take the last time one of your needs was not respected. For instance, you needed silence, sometimes for yourself, to work, or whatever. And remember how you felt. Not listened to, not cared for, not considered. It was probably not a feeling you enjoyed, was it? Children like to dress themselves, choose what to eat themselves, carry stuff themselves, and of course make decisions for themselves. When you help your child who didn't ask for help, you do two things. One, you slow the process of learning. Two, you undermine your child's dignity. Look at those given situations and imagine or remember how you would react to them. The best would be to write down the answer on a sheet of paper or in a notebook, but you can do it in your head. Take a minute to close your eyes and breathe deeply. Breathe in, breathe out. And as you do so, get back into your childhood. Just imagine you're a child again. Breathe in, breathe out. Now listen to those sentences. You are tired. Go to bed. I prepared your clothes for tomorrow. Here they are. Say your prayer before you sleep, or the Lord won't be happy. Stop being rude and kiss your uncle. Eat all your plates. Some children are hungry. So what are the children? What are the feelings you could identify? Anger, maybe? Guilt? Disgust? When somebody helps you against your will, it makes you feel powerless. The message that you're sending is, you're not able to do it. I will do it for you. Decision-making and self-esteem. It is well known and proven that doing is how we learn best as humans. This is why children have a natural inclination to develop their autonomy. Trying and practicing mean there will be mistakes and failures along the road. Thanks to this, children can hopefully correct their mistakes and improve. Your child might take the wrong decisions for himself. They might decide to go playing outside without a raincoat on a cloudy day and come back home soaked. They might decide to stay in bed instead of preparing their snack and be hungry during school. They might spend all their pocket money on unhealthy ice creams and have to go to the dentist. Adults are the same. We cannot learn something new overnight. If you want to learn Chinese or crochet, you will have to practice. But if during your first attempt at crochet, someone jumps in and says, I can do it for you. I already know. It will look nicer. You're not going to learn crochet. Here is a little nugget of wisdom for parents who are now considering helping their children less and giving them more room to make their own decisions. When a child learns they can make mistakes without getting into trouble, they will not try to hide those mistakes, which means that they are developing with honesty and integrity. They will also discover that they are able to correct their mistakes and do better next time. Isn't it something you wish you could teach your children? How can you improve your child's decision-making skills? The great news of the day is that there are endless possibilities to let your child practice decision-making. Just think of all the choices you make in one day, one week, one year. Before we go into practical situations, I would like to bring your attention on a couple of important points. Number one, the idea we have of the perfect mother. There are some things we hear like, she would do anything for her children. There is this belief that the more we love someone, the more we should do for them. As if spreading peanut butter on your child's toast and buttoning their coats were proof of your love. I urge you to remember how you felt when you pictured yourself as a child and thought of sentences like, "You're tired, go to bed." When you decide for your child what is good for them, you might think that you are telling them that you love them, but they will understand that they're not able to think for themselves, or at least that you, their mother, believe so. Number two, of the important points, in case you're not following anymore, the unhealthy obsessions with time. Another reason why we often make decisions for our children is that we are always in a hurry. I have three children. If each chose a different breakfast, they'll never be made in time, even though they make their own breakfast. But if they take ages for breakfast, it is their choice. As a consequence, they might be late for school or have no more time to play before their chores. This is where they learn what making decisions means. Maybe the next day they'll be quick about it, or decide on one breakfast to prepare together and be done with it. Or maybe not. Maybe they will be late for a week. Maybe they will end up asking you for help or advice since you have more experience. Making a wrong decision is better than no decision. As for situations where your child could practice decision making, I'm sure that you already have a few in mind. I am not saying that you should let your child decide everything starting tomorrow morning. We are talking about practice here. If you decide to learn Chinese, your teacher won't abandon you in the middle of the Chinese countryside and see if you can make it back, will they? The important thing is that your child starts to make decisions. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad, and they have to know that. The relevant part is the making of a decision. I want to read you something from the Darshan Diaries, written by a man named Osho. Decisiveness brings light. Even if you decide to remain the same, even that will bring light to you. Things will be clear. Even if you decide wrongly, then to decide is good. If you decide rightly, it is a great blessing. But if you decide wrongly, then too, it is better than the indecisive state of mind. Decisiveness is always good. Man is born through decisiveness. Remaining wavering, doing things half-heartedly, doing and not doing, just going so far and then turning back is a sheer wastage of energy. And if you remain this way too long, it becomes your habit. Then it becomes a deep root in your mind. Again and again, you do the same thing, and the root goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Stop it! That was my seed of wisdom. A good start, if your child doesn't do it already, is to let them choose their own clothes. This is an important ritual for all of us. We wake up, we reflect on our mood, on what today will bring, and choose our clothes accordingly. When I started dating my husband, he was 20. His mother was still choosing and buying his clothes for him. It's been 20 years, and he still asks for help when he has to buy new clothes. You don't want that for your children, do you? Another daily decision, food. I'm not saying your child should choose the menu, except if they're willing to cook, of course, because you might have 7 children and that would end up in a fight. They're choosing the menu, not the cooking. But a child can decide how much food they want on their plate. If they're very young, you can start with decisions like the quantity of food they want. Maybe your child could decide if they'd rather have tomato or cucumber salad. It might seem like a tiny thing, but remember, it's all about learning decision making. Takeaway tip. That's for you guys. When you're about to decide something for your child, ask yourself, if they couldn't decide themselves instead. Sorry, that was wrongly pronounced, and it's an important, it's the takeaway tip. So, when you're about to decide something for your child, ask yourself, 1. If they couldn't decide themselves instead. 2. If your action is making your child more dependent on yourself or more autonomous. Maybe at first, you'll only think of it a couple of times a day, but little by little you will start to see changes. Your mental load will lighten because you won't have to think for others. Your children will learn to make decisions. And the benefit of that is that they will learn to take responsibilities. They will become autonomous. Now, if you don't want to forget about that, you can get back to the blog post and download the cheat sheet. From small daily choices, you will see that your children will start to question deeper topics. This will be a chance for you to share and explain your values. Of course, your children will get to choose which one are theirs in the end, and they will be able to do that if you love them no matter what. This is what we call unconditional love. Now, understand how decision-making works. It is interesting to see how difficult it can be for some persons to make decisions. Quite often, people would rather procrastinate rather than making a choice. It made me wonder, what actually happens in our brain when we have to choose? 1. The brain creates options. Our brains dig into our memory and look for similar situations. That helps the brain find potential answers. For example, if you ask a small child if they'd rather have half or a full glass of juice, they will remember that yesterday it was hard to drink the whole glass. What's important here is the realization that the more experience you live, the better your capacity to choose. Don't hesitate to let your children spend time with other adults, as those will unlock potential new options for them to choose, even in familiar situations. Step 2. The brain chooses one option. No big surprise here. After considering the options of the light of past similar experiences, the brain picks one. To keep our example, that little child might decide to ask for half a glass. You can see here how having a broad horizon gives you a bigger range of choices to choose from. The brain tests the possible outcome. That's step 3. Our brain is very smart and careful. It is not going to go for just one option. First, the brain will project the option and see how it might impact ourselves and others. If the brain's satisfied, then the option is validated. This part is tricky because if this is where our fears, guilt, or doubts kick in, our limiting beliefs. Take our little child. Maybe they're afraid that if they ask for half a glass and yet are still thirsty, they might not get more. At this point, if the fears are too big, the person gets stuck. And the more they get stuck, the fewer experiences they get from their brain in step 1. This is why deciding is more important than the decision itself. Dare to decide. This is why you should let your child practice and learn. It will serve them their whole life. Remember that our children don't belong to us. They are free to make their own choices. By respecting our children's choices, we teach them self-esteem, autonomy, and respect. Well, guys, Thank you for reading this article. As always, I hope that you could take something out of it that will be useful for you and your family. And if you want to receive our blog post by email, don't hesitate to subscribe so that you're sure you won't miss the next one. And don't let the inspiration fade. When we listen or read something, we are high on taking action, and then we kind of forget about it. So what you can do straight away is to record, to save this recording, or to download the PDF version of the blog post to keep it. You can decide on one action you will implement today. Think about it. I give you a few seconds. You can share this article with a friend who could use it, because, you know, spread the love. And of course, you can subscribe to make sure you have all our articles. As always, I wish you all the best with your kids. Always remember that we do all the best we can at a given moment, and don't judge yourself too harshly. Be confident and listen to your intuition. I wish you all the best. Have a beautiful day. See you next week. Bye. That was Berenice, the founder of the Earth School, and your speaker with a French accent. Woo! Okay, guys. Bye.